Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose.
Thank you for coming tonight. We have a speaker that I think is going to help all of us in our future. I'd like to introduce Laura Reeves. She's the host of Pure Dog Talk podcasts. And tonight,
we love Pure Dog Talk.
We do. We'll be live streamed, so if you've seen all of the equipment outside, that's what's going on here. And it's also going to be available for future information.
So here's the thing about showing dogs professionally. We run from Chihuahua to Irish Wolfhound in 5 minutes on a regular basis. This isn't normal for you guys, right? So that's not something you have to worry about. You've got your own dog. And that is such an advantage. And I think sometimes owner handlers don't really appreciate what advantage it is. Because when I come screaming the Irish Wolfhound ring from the Chihuahua ring, where I've got 4 pounds on the end of the leash and I have to go to 200 and some odd pounds, that's a huge transition. And it's the same for every professional handler. And so what you guys have as owner handlers is that ability to completely focus on your own teamwork with your dog. And we know that sight hounds are special. So we have a pretty good spectrum, even within sight hounds, that have very specific needs. A Ridgeback and a Basenji, you've got to see wrinkle. I want ears. Borzoi, I don't want ears, right? So there's very, very specific differences that you guys have within your own breeds and as professional handlers that we should and need to know. But the most important thing I want you to come away with from tonight is to not try and take your Saluki or your Irish Wolfhound and turn it into a Doberman. A, you can't do it. This is not a throw down the gauntlet, I'm saying. Can't be done. And B, it's not right, okay? Temperament is part of breed type. If I have a Saluki that stands up with its ears flying and its tail wagging at the end of a 6-foot leash while I'm throwing bait at it, that's not a Saluki. May I have an amen on this?
Amen.
Breed-specific presentation is critical. Know what your breed is. Love what your breed is. Appreciate what your breed is. Showcase what your breed is. Don't try to be something you're not. Sighthounds are special. They are unique. They are ancient. They are sensitive. They are touchy. They are many, 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 many things. Appreciate them for what they are and showcase the best of your dog. And if that means you're standing in the group ring with an Irish Wolfhound that's like, okay, that's what he is. That's who he is. Don't be trying to do this big old free stack. Stand up with your dog and say, that's what an Irish Wolfhound is. So with that, we're going to go and we're going to talk about some very specific things that you guys can do. You are owner handlers, you are breeders, you are whoever you are working within your specific breeds. So we're going to really kind of try and pay attention, but there's some really commonalities between the sighthounds so that when I come from my Chihuahua or my Mastiff to my Whippet, that's all about how we present ourselves with our dogs. So, number one, pretty hands. We do a lot of talking with our hands. It's almost like sign language. I want to show things to the judge. What do I want to show the judge? I definitely do not want to take my hand and put it back here on its really crappy rear end. Right? Okay. Right. We're going to use these hands and we're going to use these like a frame. And we frame the things we want people to see, not the things we don't want people to see. Does that make sense? And we want to frame them in a pretty manner. So when I'm showing a St. Bernard that can put all 200 and some odd pounds of its head in its collar, and I'm going, and it's like a deadlift at the Olympics, that's a really different appearance than when I have my Whippet. So that's very important. What do you say with your hands? How do you use your hands? Pinky swear, or your pinky when you pick up your teacup. So that's all about elegance. Sighthounds, if they are anything, are about elegance. Even an Irish Wolfhound, all of the sighthounds, they are elegance in motion and or standing. Pick one from the largest to the smallest. They are about elegance. And so when we show this breed, we have to be about elegance. we have to give that same presentation. So if we're bobbling with our collar, dropping the leash, that's not elegant. And so one of the things that I think is so important when we're working with our sighthounds, when we touch our sighthounds, one of the things that we want to be really careful about is that we never take our hands off them, really. So when you're stacking a dog, first of all, I'm not like choking up on this dog, right? Just gently, hand underneath the collar, very gently. And I'm never really going to take my hand off this dog. This dog, when I go to stack it, this dog's never met me. And I'm just going to keep my hand on that dog all the way along. Boom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And there's your presentation. And with your Saluki, or with a lot of your sighthounds, get your head. And if he says, don't put your thumb on my nose, don't put your thumb on his nose, man. Right? Don't fight with him about it. You're going to lose. This is the thing about a sighthound. If you fight with them, you will lose. Guaranteed. They will fling themselves down on the ground and be like, done. Over it. So I think that's really important. What we say with our hands, where we put our hands, how we put our hands, when you hold the collar, when you hold the chin, everything is gentle. It's about the curves. It's about keeping your hand. If you go and you're like, at a sighthound, they're like, get off me. What? Get off me. That is just wrong. They don't like that. They don't like jittery. So if you're nervous, this is one of those places where being nervous is the worst possible thing you can possibly do. So if you are ever going to be confident in your life, when you do it is in the ring with the sighthound. Because every dog takes their confidence from us. I mean, that's a fact. Every single breed I have ever shown, from Chihuahua to Mastiff, takes their confidence from me. Fact. I have more than I need, so it's okay. You guys can add some, because that's where your dog's going to get it. But sighthounds really need it. They need your confidence. They need your strength. They need your calm. So what are you there for? You are there for your dog. You are not there for your glory or your ribbons or who you're trying to impress. You're there for your dog. What does your dog need? Give your dog what it needs. It needs your confidence and your focus. Her comment, in case anybody couldn't hear it, and is very, 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 very on point. It's stupid for me to be scared. This is my hobby. I'm supposed to be here having fun. Okay, guess what, people? This is not world peace. No world peace.
Not real life.
It's not real life. It's a game. You're having fun. And you're here having fun with your dog. Okay, I get it. You want to win. We all want to win. But what is the point of making your dog be miserable so that you can take home a ribbon? Make your dog happy and you will take home the ribbon. That's how that works. And it is particularly so in sighthounds. And that is across the board. Pick one, from the littlest to the biggest. So I really think that what we need to pay attention to with our hands is talking with our hands. I like to say that we talk with our hands just like we're talking with sign language. Point to your dog's pretty face. Point to your dog's pretty shoulders. Kind of gradually run your hand down its top line. Know what's good about your dog, number one. Okay, you got to know that part first. Read your standard. Know what's good about your dog and point that part out. And if your dog has a terrible rear end, don't ever look at it. Ever. Please do not spend 20 minutes trying to reset it, because all that's doing is telling the judge, hey, look, terrible rear end over here. There's a lot of, I'm not going to say sleight of hand, because that would be wrong, but kind of. There's a lot of magician to showing your dogs. There's a lot of pay attention over here. Don't look at this thing over here. Don't look behind the curtain. So this is what your hands are. When they talk about sleight of hand, that's what they're talking about. Your hands. Hi, over here. Hello. And that movement, that gracefulness, that gentleness, A, gives your dog confidence. B, jaws the judge's eye. And C, it's just pretty. And it's so important that you bring that for your dog, because they didn't ask to be here. You drug them here. Like, hey, dude, we're going to go do something fun. And then you drag them in the ring and you're like, you bad beast. You didn't do it what I wanted to. Okay, what's fun about that? These guys, it's so important that they understand that they're actually doing something with you. They kind of don't care really? You know, at some level, they're sighthounds. They're like, whatever. But if you're going to make them do it and ask them to do it, they should at least have a good time. So that's about the hands. That's about the confidence. Moving. Think about sighthounds. Every one of those dogs on that list, what should they do? Somebody speak to me. What should they do? Bingo! Who said float? You win a prize right there. Float. Every single one of these dogs floats. They may or may not be a trotting breed. Ridgebacks are a trotting breed, okay? They may be a galloping breed, like Salukis, like Whippets. But they should still be effortless when they move. Now, nothing here says Saluki about this body, but you got to make it look effortless. If it kills you, you have to make it look good. So if you're kind of like going around the ring, that's what your dog's going to look like too. So to move beautifully with your sighthound, drive from your hips, lower your center of gravity. I'm not saying run with bended knee, for God's sake. I'm saying lower your center of gravity, relax your lower body, and drive from your hips. Take long strides. You're floating with your dog. So if you're either lumbering or, worse, short striding, what do you think your dog's doing? Our dogs don't speak English. Did anybody know that? They read body language and they read tone. They don't understand run, heel. They don't understand any of that. They understand your body language and your tone of voice. And if your body language is, guess what theirs is? When they're supposed to be whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Okay? Anybody here cross-country ski? Come on, people, you're killing me. You have desert dogs and you don't cross-country ski. I don't understand what that's about. Okay, so... Okay, so what I'm saying is if you've ever watched cross-country skiing on TV while you were sitting in your Bedouin tent, okay, cross-country skiing, that movement, whoosh, 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 that's a float, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? You're not lifting your feet all the way up off the ground. You're not making a big pretty pony production. You are lowering your center of gravity. And you will float with your dog. And the more that you are able to float, the more that they are able to float. Super important. They will mimic your stride. If your stride is small, their stride will be small. If your stride is large, their stride will be large. That is a fact. Very, very, very important on the movement piece.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. All right, crew. Last month, I was filling you in on the Trupanion Breeder Support Program. And in case you missed it, this is a free program for breeders that lets us offer our buyers, our puppy buyers, a go-home day offer so that they can try out Trupanion and everybody has the peace of mind that that puppy is covered in case of any kind of an incident. But I was talking to Haran recently, and I didn't realize at the time that they actually have a breeding rider that is additional to the regular healthcare coverage that Trupanion offers our dogs. And so I wanted to bring Haran Greer from Trupanion back to tell us about it because I was blown away. So welcome, Haran.
Thanks, Laura. Thanks for having me back. And I'm happy this came up in conversation.
Yeah, right? So tell us about it. This is pretty incredible to me.
Yeah, so I'll just start at the basics. You know, so if you join Trupanion, we just have one simple plan. It's 90% coverage for the unexpected illnesses, accidents, and injuries. And then from there, breeders can add a breeding rider coverage to make sure that they're protected from the unexpected things that can happen with breeding.
Okay, so what does that cover? What kind of things are you covering in your claims with the breeding rider?
So it's truly things that are unexpected. So anything that you can't plan for in advance is what Trupanion gives you peace of mind from, right? But with the breeding rider, you know, the most common claim that we see are for C-sections. Mm-hmm. But as I was looking through, I was curious just to see what kind of claims we have been seeing in the past year. I was surprised that pyometra payouts have exceeded what we've paid out for C-section.
Wow.
So the claims paid ranged from the lowest one that we paid out was $1,740, and the highest one to date this year has been $5,500.
That's pretty incredible. So how much does a person pay to add that breeding rider to their regular insurance coverage?
So that rider has variables. You'll want to give us a call or go to our website. The factors are things like where you live, what breed you have, is it a male or female, how old are they, and then the deductible. And those right. deductible options is where, you know, the flexibility comes in mm-hmm. for your monthly payment. And those range from $0 to $1,000.
Okay, beautiful. So check it out, listeners, puredogtalk.com. You can find the Trupanion website. Just click that logo and it will take you in to get lots and lots of information about some stuff that I think not all of us always think about. So thank you, Haran. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Laura. I hope to be back on soon.
Okay. So the second thing, very important on this one. 1, 2, 3, go. Not, hey, let's run. Okay. So what happens when you do that? What happens when you like run? What happens? Somebody tell me. Throws the gate off, throws the dog off. They're not collected. Horse people? Come on, there's got to be horse people here. Collection. We understand collection. Dogs need it too. People need it too. So in order to get collected movement to actually showcase to the judge what your dog actually can do, you have to get them all together. And if you just go run, they're not together. They're just kind of like, whoa, what happened here? 1, 2, 3, zoop. When you drive a car, you put your foot on the gas, you go, pew. Okay, Phil, not you. I'm saying Phil Allen out there, yeah, he does. But that is not our goal, man. Our goal is proper acceleration. Yes. Okay, courtesy turn. Personally, I find it a time waster. Kind of depends on the dog. Okay, this is a great question. Courtesy turns. Big dogs, little dogs, it's all kind of different. So I've got a Rhodesian Ridgeback that paces like a son of a gun. I'm doing a great big giant courtesy turn, clear behind the judge outside the ring. And then I'm like, whee, and I'm lifting him up. And so that by the time I pass the judge's shoulder, the dog's trotted instead of like an octopus on speed. So if I've got a beautifully trained dog that knows how to, P.S., knows how to walk on a leash. Can we talk about train your dogs, people? It's like a whole nother thing. It's like a whole nother seminar. We'd have to have a whole nother seminar to talk about train your dogs. Train them to walk on a leash. I ring stewarded today and I'm like, there's 50 some odd dogs here. I think 3 of them know how to walk on a leash. Train your dogs. It's not hard. Okay. I understand they're sight hounds and we have to like coddle them a little bit. You can still tap them with the collar and say, no, you don't have to drag me around like a kite. Teach them kindness. Teach them to walk kindly on a leash. There is no excuse for an Irish Wolfhound or a Rhodesian Ridgeback dragging me along like I'm a kite. It's not okay. Even, I don't care how old they are. They're 8 weeks old. They go on a kennel lead and you walk them around and you follow them. You follow the dog. Like the dog is in charge. What a concept, right? And you say, hey, puppy, 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 puppy. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. I can come with you. And then you follow them some more. And pretty soon, like, hey, I want to go where she is because she has cookies and it's way cooler than this stupid leaf over here. That's how we teach dogs to walk on a leash. And if you teach them to do that at 8, 9, 10 weeks old, guess what? When you get to 6 months old and you walk in the ring, they're not going to fling themselves down on the ground and say, I can't possibly know. No, I don't possibly know how to do that. So teach your dog to walk on a leash. Teach it to walk nicely on a leash. 1, 2, 3. Very important. 1, 2, 3, go. I also showed you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Did you guys catch the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is very important. I'm going to show you one more time for people that weren't watching. Because when we stack our dogs, there's lots of numbers here. You didn't know this was a math class, did you? Okay. And again, when we move a sighthound's body position, we're not just yanking them around. We're convincing them that it's okay to move over here. So again, keep the hands on the dog, gentle hand. 1, we number them. This is 1. 1, 2, 3, 4. Change hands with 4, 5. I always want to do the show side first because that's what the judge sees. When you walk a dog up into your stack, teach it to walk up to your hand. Not with food, just this is your target. This is where you walk to. so that when they walk up, and also don't ever, please, dear baby Jesus, don't ever just like lift your dog up in the middle of its back. Don't do that. Just don't do that. Just walk it in a circle, please. I beg of you. Walk it in a circle. It's okay. He doesn't have to bait. All he has to do is look. This is a target. He walked to the target. Now, we look at where Muj is. He's got like 2 feet to fix. And always move the forward front leg back, not the back front leg forward. Where they stop is where they're comfortable. That's their anchor. So if one foot has gone further forward, move that foot back. That will assure, guarantee, that you will always have your dog's front underneath it rather than post out like a rocking horse. There, I have stacked my dog in 5 seconds or less. I have not reefed his body around at any point. He says, I'm kind of old and I'm a little tilty, but other than that, I'm good. And so if I want to show just a little bit of expression, this is, we're back to the hands, and this works with a lot of sighthounds. If I want ears up, I'm just going to stroke a little bit right here, right? I'm not going to do this big bait down, you know, try and get the arch. Okay, it's not a Doberman, guys. Sighthound. Show the proper headset. Show the proper shoulder set. Let them put their heads down like they were actually moving on a hunt. Because I guarantee you, their fronts are going to be so much prettier than if you've got their head up and their fronts up here around their ears. Promise. Promise to heaven. So, we need to have contact with these dogs. Even the sighthounds, even when you've given them a dead loose lead, even when you've got your whippet lead down around your shoulders, you still need to have contact. They need to feel that you're there. That's your communication with the dog. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's critical, that they be able to feel that connection. Just like when you're riding, the horse feels you in the reins and on the bit. They might feel you in your seat, they might feel you in the heel, but this is where they know what you're talking about. Same with the dogs. They know what you're telling them from what your hand on the leash says. So make sure that you're always in contact with them. In contact does not mean you're strangling them. That goes back to teach them to walk on the leash. Teach them to walk nicely on the leash. Now, Annie Clark always said, give a poodle a toy, let it carry around. That's how you teach it to walk. Okay, so probably my Saluki isn't going to carry a toy in its mouth to have a pretty haired carriage. I get that. But you can teach them to walk with, oh, what are those little lure coursing things, right? With the little fluffy part on the end of a whip. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You can teach them to do that. Easy. They just need to not be gagging and dragging. And just a little tap on the leash, just a little contact, as well as get their head at a good spot for them, not clear up here. So how do we prevent our sighthounds from looking like that? We make it happy. We teach them, we train them, and then we make this be a positive experience for them. So they're not drug out here cold going, what in bloody blue blazes have you done to me? Freaked out because they've never been anywhere and overwhelmed and overstimulated. And they're like, oh, now I have to run in a straight line? Are you kidding me? Okay, that's not cool. That's not nice to your dog. That's just not okay. So contact, stay in contact. One way or the other on the collar, stay in contact. That's very important. Not strangling. Not like they're free. Stay in contact. Ears. Salukis, it's not really the biggest thing we worry about in Salukis. Be nice if you can get a little bit. Some breeds, it's huge. Ibethan hounds. My mentor in Ibethan hounds was a woman by the name of Sue Fagan. And she's a very, very famous Ibethan hound breeder. And the very first time I ever met her, she handed me this bitch that had gone best of breed. And my friend Katie had won Basenji's. And she's like, here, I won this one too. You get to take this one. I'm like, okay, great. What do we this breed? She's like, 90% ears. All right. That bitch didn't want to use her ears. So you do everything. You're like, fling yourself on the ground and like roll on your back to try and get ears, right? Those breeds, Faroe hounds, Basenjis, Ibethan hounds, those are a big deal. A lot of these breeds, they don't really care. I mean, a little bit of expression is pretty, particularly, I think, if you have a feathered dog, I think it really kind of frames the face really nice. But again, keep in mind, what is the back skull on your dog? Is your back skull on your dog a little heavy? Don't use the ears, people. So that goes back to know your dog. What do you know about your dog? Does your dog have a stunning headpiece that's all length and elegant and gorgeous? Fine, you can get some ears out of it. Your dog's got a bucket head. Please don't put its ears up. Just please don't. So that's an important thing to know. Now, tails are a whole other thing. Tails, you've got Afghans and Basenjis. You got to get that tail up. You got to get that tail up. But what's really important, Salukis, oh, you could hold your own umbrella. Somebody actually once told me that about a dog I was showing. That was really cold. So how do you get your tail up or your tail down? Those are issues. Tail up goes back to the happy and the confident. Do not piss off an Afghan. Let me just tell you, this is a bad scene, people. So you got to keep them happy. A Saluki, I really don't want it happy. Right? Because what happens when a Saluki is super happy? And it's up to holding its own umbrella. Or when it thinks it's really cool. The one I showed was just super macho. He's walking in like this. He's got his tail up over his head. I'm like, yeah, I'm cool. I'm like, no, you're not that cool, dude. So when you have that problem, you need to convince them they're really not that cool. Clearly, without beating them, I'm not advising that. I'm just saying, no, you're not that cool, buddy. Just dial it down a bit. And 90% of the time, it's up here. It's very, 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 very rarely that I see a sighthound that has a tail carriage issue, not a tail set issue, tail carriage issue that isn't in their head. It's not about where it's set. It's up here. 98% of the time. It happens. But you don't very often see a whippet or a greyhound or something with their tail set up here. Okay, it's not the tail set. It's the tail carriage. And that is mental. And so mental, who's in charge of the mental? Hello, do a little happy dance, right? Because now it's in your hands. You can control this. So instead of being mad about it and beating them, right? So, all right, I'm in charge. This is in my bailiwick. I can take care of this. And 90% of the time, it's just dialing that dog down. Calming it down. It's not checked up. It's not all wound up about bitches or, you know, whatever it is. It's also mostly males. Have you ever noticed that? Boys, close your ears. All you, plug your ears. Come on, cover them up. Come up, come up, come on, come on, cover them up. You, right there, I'm saying, cover your ears. I say, it's the boy dogs. Because they're really cool. What we can control and what we don't have control over, we have a lot more control over things than you really think we do. You just have to understand what's your role in that partnership with your dog. Now, here's a big question, and we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. Can you make a sighthound care about being a show dog? Should we? Okay, now, some of this is going to depend on whether you have a dog that needs ears. Okay. So my Ibethan hound, my Faroe hound, my Basenji, my Ridgeback, they better like it. And I have to train them to like it because I've got to get some expression. I got to have wrinkle or I got to have ears or I got to have whatever I need to have. And I'm not saying that our dogs should hate it. When I say, do they have to love being show dogs? What I'm saying is, do we need to turn them into that proverbial Doberman? That proverbial generic show dog that makes my head spin off my body? I personally don't believe that we do. There are some breeds, yeah, I needed ears on X, Y, or Z. But if I have a really, really beautiful, okay, I'm going to give you guys a picture. And a lot of you people here been around long enough. I'm just looking around. A lot of you guys are going to remember this picture. So paint a picture with me. Close your eyes and paint a picture with me. Scottish Deerhound. Beautiful. Just this magnificent outline. Kind of a bigger dog. And Ray Brenly. Yeah. You never saw Ray. From the other side of the ring, what'd you see? Dog. All you saw was the dog. He's got the hand up here. He's got this leash right here. He's kind of tugging it a little bit. He's got contact. But this is Ray. And he's kind of like, he's kind of down here like this. Do you guys remember seeing him? I do. It's exactly what he looked like. This is what Ray's body looked like. You never saw Ray. All you saw was this dog. So there are ways to be a little bit dramatic or a little bit overdramatic, whatever. Hey, Ray. And showcase your dog in a way that is best for your dog and for your breed that doesn't involve the holy grail of catching cheese cubes. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
All right. Because I think that's really important. And I think watching people show dogs who are really good at it is so important. And I spent, from the time I was about 13 or 14 years old, at every dog show I could drag my mother to, sitting at the group ring, obsessing over my heroes. Okay, my gods were not Kobe Bryant or musician person or whatever. My gods were in the show ring. My gods were the professional handlers. They were Andy Linton, and they were Beep Lee, and they were Daffy McFadden, and they were Don Rogers, and they were these people that I watched every weekend who got every single ounce of blood out of the turnip, whatever the turnip might be. And guess what, you guys? They had 30 dogs they had to do that with. You can do that. And there is absolutely no reason on God's little green earth that you can't. You can choose to not, but then you don't get to whine anymore. Okay? That's what I'm saying. That's my throwdown to you people. All right? You choose not to do the work, don't whine to me. Do the work. And you too can make your dogs shine. Learn your dog. Know your dog. Know what's good about your dog. What isn't good about your dog. Dear God, know that too. And go show your dog, because that is what you're here for. You're not here to impress people. You're not here to get a ribbon. You're not here to be famous. You're here to have fun with your dog. Know what you've got, work with what you have, make the best of it, showcase it, and use it when you need it. Peace out.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.